So once England have done with this thrilling test series,
we head to
South Africa. Mm. Not an easy place to play, as we've seen the way South Africa are playing against India in India at the moment. It's not going to be easy. So I'm sure all the Scots out there like to see England turned over would love to know that a Scot was pretty instrumental in establishing cricket in South Africa. And joining us now, who's written about that, sort of a much bigger story than that. The book is called Empire, War and Cricket in South Africa. Dean Allen has joined us. Dean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, chaps. Thanks for having me.
The man in question was a guy called James Douglas Logan, who emigrated to South Africa. So tell us a little bit more about him and his motives for getting involved in cricket over there.
Well, yeah, James Logan is one of these characters that sort of history's missed. I've lived in South Africa on and off for the last 20 years. And since since democracy, the archives have opened up, and you've got these wonderful unexplored stories that are there to be written. So it's a real privilege to have written this book, Empire, War and Cricket. Now, James Logan is a rags-to-riches story. He moved to South Africa in 1877 as a 19-year-old. And by the age of 25, he was a millionaire. He built his own town. And why cricket? Well, cricket was the game of empire, as we know. If you were involved in cricket, no one could question your motives. No one could question your friendships with Cecil Rhodes and the politics and things. Mm. And he used it as a smokescreen, really. He was responsible for taking the first English cricket teams down to South Africa. He was an early benefactor.
Oh, OK. You mentioned Cecil Rhodes. As a kind
and so what sort of people were playing? Because presumably...
Expats, I would imagine.
It must have been, really, rather than the local people.
Oh, very much so. It was, at the top level, it was a colonial team. I mean, you were invited to play cricket. It was still very exclusive then. But let's not forget that the whole of South Africa was playing cricket at that time. I mean, there's now new histories about, African cricket, rich histories down there that are being written, which is fantastic that people are doing that work. But James Logan was one of these breeds. It was like the Wild West down there, and only the tough survived. And he arrived just at the time when diamonds had been discovered. South Africa then became the focus of the British Empire. And it's no coincidence that the British took their sports tours wherever they seemed to want to create an influence, and that's exactly what happened. So in the 1880s, 1890s, when this book is based, the English cricket tours were, quite prevalent down there.
So he was using it from a contact point of view? Was he actually was he making money from the process or just from the people he met through it?
Both. Yeah. Very much so. I mean, it was the age of shamateurism. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. You got W.G. Grace, of course, saying he was the archetypal amateur. Mm. He was earning as much money out of cricket so he could give up his GP practice. Mm. But we've got James Logan. He used it for social elevation. He was new money. So, he used cricket, sort of the aspects of social climbing, as it were. But also he wanted to influence his part on the game. And of course, when he came back to the UK, then he gets the invitations to Lords, etc., and all those kind of things.
I read C.B. Fry's book, and he talks about touring South Africa and things you're struck by, how long it took them to get there. That was number one. And also, he describes meeting Cecil Rhodes, and it was all very, very, like you say, very upper strata.
Well, it's worth Cecil Rhodes gave his name to Rhodesia, was a kind of, an incredibly rich... I mean, the man who said this, one of his great quotes, where's it gone? I love this. Remember that you are an Englishman and have consequentially won first prize in the lottery of life.
Fantastic. That's one of his. It's fantastic, isn't it?
That's how people thought then, of course.
Of course they did. I mean, Cecil Rhodes also said he'd only met two creators in his life, himself and James Logan. So, I mean, wonderful stuff. So, I mean, that was an invitation to write this story, which is great.
Is Logan sort of known well in Scotland or not?
Well, I've given a number of talks in Scotland, and of course the Scots love a Scotsman who's done well, and it really is capturing the imagination as it's done in South Africa. But, Logan's great fame, of course, was he had the English cricket team arrested in 1891, by the way, because he sponsored the tour and they didn't pay the money back with interest, which was interesting.
I think you want him to get Ian Bell as he tries to be a charger, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's a bit more exciting at the moment.
And I couldn't believe, I'd say the attitudes to war were slightly different, but a touring party... did a touring party come here during the Boer War? Is that what went on?
Which is absolutely incredible.
During the war.
James Logan's big ambition was to take his own South African team back to the mother country, and he managed to use the chaos of the war in 1901. The South African Cricket Association had disbanded, and James Logan used that time and opportunity to arrive with his own team, the second ever South African team, and they played a series of first class matches here in the UK during the South African War. And famously, of course, Arthur Conan Doyle wrote in the press as they arrived, "How dare this team play when they should be fighting a war back in the country?"
Wow.
Amazing.
Now, there's a menu here for a farewell dinner.
To Logan, yeah?
To Logan. Presumably Sunday, July the 8th. 1894. So before we go into what they actually ate, which is absolutely ridiculous,
it'll make you hungry. This
is it. Well, it might do. What was this in aid of, this dinner?
Well, James Logan, he celebrated, he became a swallow. He was one of those rich people that never saw a winter. Fantastic, you know, he came back during the English summer. And every time he left, he had these elaborate dinners. He created his own town in South Africa called Mikeysfontein. And we haven't heard of it here, but in the 1890s, this was the talk of London. This was the place, part of empire, where people want to visit. It's this incredible village in the middle of the South African Karoo, the semi-desert. And it's like it.
Is it still there?
It very much so. It's a late Victorian village, perfectly preserved, and that's what inspired me to write this book. Mm. And in South Africa, it's part of their folklore, and that's why this book has really taken off down there.
So this is what they started with, the soup, giblet.
Cool, giblet soup.
Giblet
Blimey.
Soup, yeah.
Then no croutons.
No, they went on to they don't need them. They went on to the fish course, salmon croquettes, which, yeah, you know, quite filling. Then they had an entree of salmi of guinea fowl, no idea what
I remember
that is.
Him, yeah.
Cutlets a la reform, I don't know what they are, and beef olives, which are kind of stuffed, sort of rolled beef thing.
Yeah.
That's and then they go on to the joints, then roast...
Blimey, is that sort of do, was it?
Oh, not really. Roast sirloin of beef and Yorkshire pud, mutton... Corn tongue, corned beef and carrots, roast lamb and mint sauce.
Boiled beef and carrots.
Corned beef and carrots.
Yeah.
Roast lamb and mint sauce.
Yeah.
And if you're being a bit peckish after that, then they went on to the poultry course. That was roast turkey and ham.
Was he a big man, Logan?
he certainly put on a good party, that's for sure. And you can see why the English cricket teams like to visit his town.
No, there's more. We haven't finished yet.
Oh, OK, go on
there's
then.
There's another course.
Let's focus on the menu, eh?
It was a little bit peckish there. Oh, after all that, I'll have a Bengal curry and rice.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, and then a nice light finish to the meal was the plum pudding and brandy sauce with baked custard. Oh, cheese.
God.
And dessert. Tea and coffee. I don't think you could even get the coffee in.
It's Mr. Creosote's, do.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Are the family still over? You must have probably spoke to some descendants of James Logan. Are they still there? Are they still living in South Africa?
Well, yes. Yeah, his grandson, actually, was the guy that was sitting on all these wonderful archives. And when his late grandson... died in his 70s a few years ago, but I managed to get access to the family archives, and it was incredible. I mean, it was like finding historical gold. There are the original trophies to the English cricket teams in the 1890s, letters from Cecil Rhodes, poems from Rudyard Kipling, all to Logan. I knew this was a bigger story to write.
Yeah.
And yes, there is his great-granddaughter, who's now in her 50s, and she's absolutely, you know, delighted that someone's written this story. But it's a biography, but as you said at the start, it brings together all the wider themes of what was going on. You can't talk about cricket and South Africa at this time without talking about the wider politics and obviously the you know, it was a shady business of sport and politics.
Well,
which was at
that was going to be my final question, really. Then is it, how's he viewed now? I mean, obviously to the indigenous population, have been, you know, colonialists. They weren't always the best. I mean, how are they viewed? How's he viewed? How does history view Logan these days?
Well, I think this is a film in the making, to be quite honest. Mm. It's got everything that you need for a film, and there's big debate now with this colonial period in South Africa. Somebody asked me the other day, you know, have you timed this to come out with this whole debate about Cecil Rhodes and his legacy? Well, it took me 10 years to write this book, so that would have been fantastic timing. But it's a debate that I'm engaging with, you know, and certainly, you know, these were tough men. They did, you know, they did exploit, but they did leave a legacy in the case of James Logan. They still play for the Logan Cup, by the way, in Zimbabwe. Okay. It's their first-class cricket competition.
What was the Hotel Milner? So it's a hotel that they built.
Yeah, that was his pride and joy in this place called Mikeysfontein, of course, named after Alfred Milner, who was the Cape Governor at the time. So he knew which side to be on, that's for sure.
It sounds like a man who could work the room, as they say. Well, very it's fascinating stuff. Good to see you, Dean. Thanks very much
Bless
for joining
you. Thank
us.
We
wish you well with
me.
The book. Empire, War and Cricket in South Africa by Dean Allen is available now. And it's available in hardback, and because it's lavishly illustrated, isn't it? There's some fantastic stuff in it.
Book.
So if you love your cricket from that era, go and check it out. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.